Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here today with Jason Ragone. He's the Director of Planning and Development for Westmoreland County, as well as the Executive Director of the Industrial Development Corporation, the WCIDC. Jason, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jen.
Well, you have a tremendous staff and you guys do a wonderful job. Most recently, we've worked together on Westmoreland County's strategic plan. So you were really at the center of all of that, collecting all the information, figuring out the strategic priorities and how to move Westmoreland County forward. But some of the strategic plan was premised on the fact that Westmoreland County probably has a little opportunity to keep itself from shrinking, right? Let's talk about that first.
Yeah, time goes by quick, as we're already 3 years into implementation of the plan. But you know, certainly thinking back about what the critical mission of the plan was addressing our demographic challenges in the county. That had been identified, and certainly the county's been losing population for the last four decades, but it just came to a boiling point where we have to be proactive on addressing it with strong strategies and actionable items that can push back on that number, because the downside to it is if you continue down that path, losing population can have a negative impact on many different levels. So you know, our goal and we see as an opportunity is we need to not only stabilize our population, but we also need to find ways to grow our population and have it in such we have a growing economy, growing communities, and that turns into a thriving environment.
Hard to believe it's already, you know, 3 years into that. But what were some of the big takeaways from the plan that people need to know about?
Yeah, so there was seven areas, broad areas that we identified as core objectives. And see, now you're putting me to the test as you start just focusing on the smaller details and not looking at the broader areas. But you know, after any strong community plan is based on public feedback. And Jen, you were a strong partner with us to get the word out and get feedback from our residents about what makes the county strong, as well as what are areas that we need to address. But you know, through a two-year process of developing the plan, there was those seven core objectives that were identified to strengthen the county and meet our goals. Number one was to really strengthen our workforce training, right? Making sure people are going into positions that create value for the county. And there was a whole host of strategies that really supported that particular initiative. But again, our initiative started, it was a business challenge, right? Companies were identifying the difficulty of finding a good, strong labor force. And that really got us down that path of looking at our demographics. So that really was item number one, improving our workforce. The other item was discovering all the great things about Westmoreland County. Let's communicate what makes Westmoreland County so great and programs to support that, as well as, you know, recognizing that we need to be a welcoming community. And so core objective number two, known as Discover Westmoreland, really kind of focused on communications and being just a stronger partner with our residents. Core objective item number three is really repositioning our towns. We see our downtowns as opportunities for growth. There's a push, instead of maybe necessarily living in the suburbs or in rural areas, but the opportunity to live in downtown areas. But you have to be effective. You have to have housing. Correct housing, you have to have assets in place. So there is an opportunity to develop our towns in a better, more effective way to attract people there and offer choice. Connecting with parks and nature was item number four, and we recognize and embrace Westmoreland County has so many great outdoor assets. We want to make sure that we preserve those as well as enhance those, because that's what our community demanded. And then just a couple of the other were plugging into a new economy. We'll talk hopefully a little bit more today about broadband and some of the other opportunities that incorporating technology into our future as part of our economy. And then in number seven, creating transportation choices. As we know, we need to get from point A to point B in an effective manner. And so there were a number of strategies that focused on improving our transportation system, all the way from our roads and bridges and highway system to public transportation to even our beloved Arnold Palmer Regional Airport that could be, you know, that is an asset here to Westmoreland County.
So how do you think the county's doing in accordance with the comprehensive plan?
Well, I think actually it's a conversation we just had with staff. We need to go back and say, let's really summarize and quantify what actions have been completed, which ones are moving forward and which ones have not. And we need to start investing time into those. As we discussed, a county strategy usually is a 10-year implementation period. And yet we're three and a half years into the 10-year process. So we still have time to go, but a lot of these projects take time, not only to plan, but to fundraise and then to implement. I think it is a bit challenging to quantify success, other than saying all of these actions are either completed or moving forward. But the one way we can, because our overall goal is to increase our population, stabilize, and then increase our population, you know, there was just a census that was completed, although the timing from when we started implementing the plan to when the census was completed was a very, very narrow window. But there are annual estimates that are completed that we can review and reflect on to see if we're making an impact. And our overall population continues to decrease each year. We know that. We recognize that. We have to look at the details internally within that. What makes up population change? There's two factors. There's natural change, birth versus death. Mm-hmm. And then there is migration rates, out-migration versus in-migration. We are improving on our migration rates. We actually have a positive migration rate right now. More people are moving into the county than moving out. So that old stigma of saying everyone's leaving, well, that's not really true.
Right.
Is that a result of the plan? Well, I'm not sure that there is a direct, you know, we'd like to say there's correlation between the two or causation, but it's hard really to say one is directly influencing the other, right? But indirectly, we see positive movement. More people are moving in than moving out. So that's a good thing. The numbers are not staggering on the positive side, but they're on the plus side compared to where they were on the negative side prior to the plan adoption. Where we're challenged at is our births versus deaths. We are feeling the effects of having an aged population. Mm-hmm. And we are going to continue to see more people that are dying in the county than are being born. It's just right. The result of an aged population. So at some point, if we are effective with our migration rates coming into the county, our net migration, we'll hopefully be able to offset that natural change over time. We're not there just yet, but we're moving in the right direction.
We've done a wonderful job, I think, with that, especially in the cities, you know, the downtown areas. You've focused on blight, you've recruited new industry. What was one of your proudest moments for maybe a town like New Kensington or Manassas or something like that?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. New Kensington has been a bastion of success. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of investment going into it. A lot of that started with a partnership with, even before the comprehensive plan, with our partnership with Penn State, investing initially with a new facility downtown, and then trying to catalyze that into economic opportunity and investment and excitement. And that then translated into a $5 million investment by the R.K. Mellon Foundation with our partners with the Economic Growth Connection, building the Digital Foundry downtown. There's a lot of companies. I think the mayor will tell you that there is, over the last two or three years, there's been like 60 plus new businesses that had opened up along the corridor of innovation, which is Fifth Avenue, which is like Main Street in New Kensington. So there's a lot of businesses that are coming in, whether boutique shops or breweries or coffee shops or what have you. There's just a lot of excitement and energy going into New Kensington. we see, I think, in the new, on the horizon, the big industrial site along the river being the former Schreiber Industrial Park, now known as the New Kensington Advanced Manufacturing Park. We're hoping to be able to make a significant announcement here in the next 30 to 60 days on a major business investment and attraction to that location. We're crossing our fingers, like, deal's not a deal until it's a deal.
Right.
But we're feeling very confident that it's going to move forward and can make some, really take the city to the next level in terms of economic development and private investment attraction.
Investment spawns investment. There's no doubt about it. That cluster scenario becomes very important. Also working with local governments, right? I mean, there's got to be tax deals. There's got to be, you know, there's got to be breaks available. There's got to be incentives, or, you know, it's, people aren't just going to magically come and tear down your blight, right?
Yeah, you certainly have to recognize when there is a need for public financial investment and partnership. Not every deal is the same, but every project is the same. But in working with our partners at the city, in any city or any community, having good dialogue, understanding that there are programs that can support projects that can then attract the next investment and the next investment and next investment. So I think we've had pretty good communications and relationships with our local officials. Try to be honest with them and say, hey, here's this opportunity. You know, they could, yeah, you got to bend a little bit at the beginning, but it may mean the next project comes in, right? And that just, can, as you said, investment generates more investment. And that's, we try to make sure that we have those kind of strong partnerships with our local officials. And like in New Kensington's case, the mayor is the greatest spokesperson that you'll ever want for a city. He makes things happen. He's there at meetings. He's always very positive. He's been a great partner.
Well, that's important too, for sure, to make sure that all the elected officials and the community representatives are on board. I mean, I've spent a lot of time in New Kensington recently because the Roman Catholic Diocese had a church that blew over there, as you know, in the tornado, and that church has been restored and it's back open again. And the community was just so excited about it. And you could definitely feel the energy, and that energy continues to build the more investment that you have there, for sure. And then, you know, there's other pockets of the county that just continue to thrive. I mean, that Route 70 corridor, the Route 30 corridor, I mean, you just like, you know, it never stops with development and business. That has to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, we just celebrated, talking about I-7 or Interstate 70, we just celebrated a ribbon-cutting event. Our organization, the Industrial Development Corporation, just finally opened up the Commerce Crossing at Westmoreland site. It was about a $15 million investment, site development investment. Fortunately, we were also able to celebrate the opening of a large speculative industrial facility. Our partners at private investors being AL Nyer, Al Nyer, built a building, right? Basically the same time we were building the industrial park. And so we were able to do a ribbon cutting event at the same time we have land, as well as we have a brand new building that's available. That was really largely supported by the investment that PennDOT made along Interstate 70, modernizing that highway system and the interchange. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So really, we're seeing a lot of interest there. We have five lots at that site. One has been purchased, two are under agreement, and we're hoping, again, you know, another one of those announcements here in the near future, that the fourth of the five lots will be under agreement with a large, significant private investment. There's, even on a private side, there's an announcement that there's a 1 million square foot building being built just outside New Stanton. And you drive by on the turnpike and you can look off to the west, and you'll see a lot of earth moving equipment, right? Pretty soon you're going to have this 1 million square foot distribution facility that's there. And I think that that's going to validate that large investment can take place, right? At a location like that.
And yes, really it is. It's amazing there. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to look at and so much to see. That's really exciting. I'm talking with Jason Rigoni today. Jason is the Director of Planning and Development for Westmoreland County. He's also the Executive Director of the Industrial Development Corporation, the WCIDC. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jason. When we come back, we're going to talk about broadband investment and how that connectivity is so important for economic development in Westmoreland County. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. On the line today is Jason Rigoni. He's the Director of Planning and Development for Westmoreland County, as well as the Executive Director of the Industrial Development Corporation. Jason, a very exciting project happening right now with broadband and that connectivity. Can you tell us from the beginning how that project started, how it's going, and what that means for connectivity and economic spur in Westmoreland County?
Yes, certainly. And again, thank you for having me. Broadband, big topic here in the office, big topic across the county, not only in the county, but across the nation. We actually identified broadband as a major need in our comprehensive plan, which was pre-COVID-19, right? We recognized that everybody needed to be connected, not only because people, if they have connection, they access the world, and that creates opportunity. But in addition to that, if you have, I call it really high speed internet service, you can also attract investment of technology based companies or companies that need that higher level of speed. So again, recognizing that we identified as a priority in 2018 and 19, and then all of a sudden COVID, the pandemic breaks out, and it really becomes, everyone is aware at that point of the need. And then you also identify where your holes are, right? Where the challenges were, as we're seeing, as an example, Ligonier Valley School District, who was really challenged with connection, had to hand out hotspots to students and families, and or those families had to drive to parking lots in order to get adequate access to access their remote learning requirements.
Wow.
That happened in places across not only this county, but across the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Westmoreland County Commissioners then became real champions of this initiative. They provided funding and support to start really analyzing what our existing conditions are through a feasibility study. We hired a private consultant, Michael Baker, earlier this year to really delve into the existing conditions, the infrastructure that was out across the county, identify where we have holes. We conducted a survey of our residents and businesses over about a four-month period. We collected around 2,500 surveys completed, which was that exceeded our goal of 2,000.
Great.
And what we found is we do have conditions that need to be addressed. We do have areas of the county that would be deemed as unserved or underserved by the federal government. We also recognize that if we do have substantial or if we have adequate access, we can help our senior population access telehealth. Your former career, Jen, I know you recognize the need to be connected with our healthcare providers remotely, right? I think that that's an effective tool. We recognize during the pandemic, students need to be able to remote learn. We learned that people are still largely that have an office environments. A lot of people are still working from home. Some of that is by choice and preference, not necessarily because of a requirement, but we don't see that going anywhere. So all of those things say to us, we need to make sure that we fill all of those voids throughout the county. Primarily, we're seeing our voids geographically, if people can envision Westmoreland County, in the Ligonier Valley, primarily north of the borough of Ligonier up to the towns of like Bolivar, New Florence. And that section there is a big gap. In Derry Township and across, I'll call it the northern tier of Salem Township, in the Bell and the Loyal Hanna Township, there are some big gaps in those areas. And then we have spots, right? It's real sporadic on where those gaps are. And so our goal, first step is to release our feasibility study in January, outline the actions that we will be taking. And we really see the role of Westmoreland County as investing through partnerships with private ISPs. Westmoreland County is not going to own infrastructure. It's just not going to happen. We see the best way to approach this is identify areas, put it out for RFP, whatever internet service provider, private, comes up with the best plan to address that area. That's who we partner with and make investment. Westmoreland County has already committed some of its ARP funds towards this initiative, so their American Rescue Plan funds. The dollar amount hasn't been verified at this point, but there is a commitment by the county to invest some of those dollars into that initiative. And there will be a lot of other federal funds that roll out through the infrastructure bill, the IIJA. That will be coming out in a year or two that we'll be able to tap into to be able to fill all of these voids. And at the end of it, our goal is that we'll have internet for all. Everyone will have access to a speed of 100 download, 20 upload speed. That's the federal minimum requirement, and that's going to be our goal here in Westmoreland County, number one. Number two, we're hoping, is also to identify what we call economic enhancement areas. Those are areas that may already be served, but if we're serving them at gigabit speed, we could attract new investment. We could attract new businesses, or maybe just retain the businesses that we have. So, you know, those two goals from an infrastructure perspective is what we're standing by, access for all, and then also develop economic enhancement areas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would imagine some companies won't even look, right? They won't even look at you unless you have something like that, right? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's tie things together. You had mentioned about that church in New Kensington. Mm-hmm. There was a local company that flew digitally with their drone technology and really mapped out the roofing system on that church. That company is located in New Kensington called iBot. They've got to be located in an area that they have access to gigabit speed because they've got to upload and download data.
Huge amounts of data.
They need the bandwidth. Their location, wherever they're located, needs the bandwidth necessary to support their business. We see there's other technology-based businesses that have the same requirement.
That's going to be so important moving forward. So that'll be an RFP process going out, and you expect you'll get several bidders on that?
Yeah, we see it likely putting out. We have some early action projects that we're going to do initially just to show progress and that we're mm-hmm. hitting some areas with a little bit of funding that we currently have. We have around 130 what they call polygons, small areas that can be addressed by an individual ISP. We plan on putting all probably close to 130 polygons out under RFP at the same time. An ISP can bid on all, or they can bid on individual. Mm-hmm. Then obviously we'll have to do the internal analysis on saying what's the best value for that polygon. And so, you know, hopefully we get them all done at one time. If not, we'll do the ones that are the best value first, and then continue to work down the other ones as additional funding comes in.
Boy, I'll tell you, and I'm sure COVID pushed this up the priority chain, huh?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I think it validated what we all knew, but it just obviously all of a sudden showed the importance of it on a more national level.
Yeah, and I think as we continue to look at trying to attract new companies and young people, technology is a key component to that. Now, your staff is exceptional. You know, tell us a little bit about your staff and the kind of expertise that you have on it.
Well, kind of going across the board, and thank you very much. And I know you've got to work with a few of them, and they are exceptional individuals, and I'm certainly very lucky to have the support that they bring. My community development staff really kind of manages all of our federal programs. You know, they really buy into how do we make the investment of our federal funds at the local level to have impact. Mm-hmm. Janet Thomas is our deputy director there that runs all of our, like I said, all of our community development block grant funds, our affordable housing programs. The one program that I would like to mention on here too is our new lead hazard control program. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize, if they have a house that was built prior to 1973, I think that's the year, they could have lead paint in their house. And lead paint, as we know, can really impact very young individuals. If they're under the age of 6, it can have detrimental impact to their brain development. And so that program was developed under Janet's leadership to bring funding in to support those low-income individuals that don't have the resources to address lead paint in their homes. So we're getting up and operational with that program. It's relatively new, and we're already starting to see we got received $3.5 million from the federal government to get it started.
Wow, that's great.
And the state is now throwing in another $500,000 to supplement it. So we feel like we're in a good position. We just got to get projects started and get, you know, houses cleaned up. My planning department, former deputy director was Brian Lawrence, that really was the leader that developed our comprehensive plan. He has moved on and running our county redevelopment authority and doing wonderful things there. The staff in my planning department are always coming up with innovative ways to support our communities, working with our communities on a daily basis, trying to identify programs that can reduce costs, that, you know, that really develop communities in a much more efficient and effective manner to attract and retain those young people. And then my Industrial Development Corporation staff, just doing wonderful things, attracting new investment into Westmoreland County. Hopefully, as I had stated, we'll be making some announcements here shortly about some new investment coming into the county, creating more jobs. Of course, we have the dynamic now, Jen, of saying we don't have enough people to fill all the jobs that we currently have. And so when we attract new business and new employment, it puts a little bit more burden on our current labor force.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So it's about quality employment is what we've got to look for, not necessarily jobs for the sake of jobs. It's more about high quality job opportunities.
Is this what you thought you'd be when you grew up? Did you think you'd be doing this community planning? Is this what you went to school for?
Well, it's funny you say that. The answer to that, obviously, like all of us, is no. But I told this funny story. We did the groundbreaking for the industrial park that I mentioned early on at Commerce Crossing. That's about 3 miles from my house. At the groundbreaking event, I said, I used to drive by this site every day on my way to high school and would look over and say, that would be a great industrial park, which obviously was a joke. But like everybody else, we all grow up and go through times. I went to college to be an urban planner, to plan and support my community. So I guess from college on, I'd say that, you know, this is what I dreamed to do. But it's been a fascinating opportunity over the last 25 years I've been involved here at this office, whether it was just one of the lower level staff or all the way up to being the executive director and getting to work with wonderful people like yourself.
Is that how you started? So you started working as a staffer and then worked your way up?
I started working as an intern.
Really?
Yeah. My predecessor, who you know, Larry Larice.
I did know Larry. Yes.
You know, Larry asked me that when I was asking him about internships, he says, well, we don't pay anything. Do you want to volunteer your time? And I said, hey, any experience is good experience. So absolutely. And I'll work a second job, you know, in the evenings during that time period. So that got me my foot in the door. And then Larry hired me shortly after I graduated. And I've been here with the county ever since. It's been a great place to work.
And where did you go to school?
I went to high school at York School District, went to college at Penn State.
Penn State. Okay. For urban planning. And that's, you know, spot on. But I'm sure, you know, when you and I were in college, they probably weren't talking about broadband. So the learning curve has probably been steep, but it sounds like you've latched right on and you can definitely see the priorities.
Well, I appreciate that. Again, I'll go back to, I'm glad I have great staff who explain some of this stuff to me. I still have to figure out my passwords half the days to get on most of my apps and on the internet, but having great staff is and a great team certainly makes it a lot easier.
Jason, where can people go to look at the strategic plan, learn more about broadband, learn more about the lead paint project? Is there a website that they can visit?
Certainly can go to the county's website, which is not easy. So it's co.westmoreland.pa.us. But if you just Google Westmoreland County Comprehensive Plan, it'll take you to the planning department's website, webpage. And then there's a left side browser that you can jump on, Comprehensive Plan, and it'll take you to the actual plan. Within the planning department's website, because that's really who's managing the broadband plan program, there should be a link on there. Actually, better yet, we created our own website for broadband. So just westmorelandbroadband.org.
Oh, good. Okay. So westmorelandbroadband.org for that and all that on the planning page as well. Yep. Jason Rigoni, thank you so much for joining us today on Westmoreland Community Connections. Jason's the Director of Planning and Development for Westmoreland County and Executive Director of the Industrial Development Corporation. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.